only, it's better because Onam is the season right now. So one story which is there for Onam is like this, that you know Parashuram, no? Parashuram was the incarnation of God, and Parashuram came down to actually, because by that time when Parashuram had to come, the Kshatriyas, the kings, no? They were misusing their power. Because the chair and the authority they were misusing, and they were not exemplary kings. And they really started misbehaving and misusing the authority. So Parashuram came down. A very nice story happened that time. That the king, one king came and stole one Kamdhenu cow of his father, Jamadagni. Jamadagni is father of Parashuram and Renuka is mother. So the king came and first requested, okay, I want the cow. Because the king came with thousands of soldiers in the hermitage of a sadhu, that is Jamadagni. Now, you can't expect to have 50 items of lunch, no, in the form. You are a king, in your palace you can serve 51 items. But this hermitage also, the Jamadagni Rishi, within few minutes, he served them more than 50 items of lunch for all thousands of people at one time. So the king was surprised, hey, in jungle, how this sadhu has so much of wealth and opportunity? Someone told him that there's a Kamadhenu cow, that is wish-fulfilling cow. You just have to go and put a wish, and immediately whatever you wish will be provided. So the king became envious. Sorry, I'm the king of the whole province. Everything belongs to me. So even Kamadhenu belongs to me. I must have it. Why the sadhu should have it? So he requests sadhu that you please give me this Kamadhenu cow. Sadhu said, Jamadagni said that, you know, my yagya which I do, fire sacrifice, I need ghee. And we only use for that. We don't eat 50 items every day from the cow. We only use her for our milk and for our ghee. And for my worship and meditation, it is important for me. We are not enjoying what we served you from the cow. But still the king was like bent upon. It is my right and I am king over here and you have to give. Like government is saying, Anand Padmana property is government property. You have to give government the property now. We have the authority. And then they listen. He snatched the cow when sadhu went for some other work. Picked up and he went away. And then Parashuram came from outside and he noticed that cow is missing and father is also upset. The cow is gone. And they came to know king has stolen it. So Parashuram became very angry. Very, very angry. He went to the kingdom of that king and told him, you should not snatch the property of a Brahmin. You are supposed to give to Brahmin rather than snatching his property. But you have not done as per the rules of Kshatriya conduct. So better you give the cow back and settle the matter. The king was adamant. He thought, ki one simple Brahmin's son is coming and challenging me, how will I listen to him? He said no to him. And then Parashuram is incarnation of God. He took out his Parshu and he killed him. The surprise, you know, ki a sadhu's boy can come and kill. But he was very powerful, he killed him. And he came back and told his father that I killed him because he didn't listen to me. I brought the cow back. Father became very upset. So you should not act as a Brahmin like this. This is not good. You should not do this. But then what happened in between? The sons of the killed father came and again stole the cow. He listened to his father and he was saying, I'm sorry, I will not do it again. But next time, the sons of the king came and again snatched the cow. And I think they also killed Jamadagni. I think, if I'm not mistaken. So then he got very angry. He was like, sorry to his father, but when his father was killed and again the cow was snatched, he became very angry. So angry that these Kshatriyas, what do they think of themselves? You know, the sadhus are to be respected, the priestly men are to be respected. Instead of that, they are harassing them and they are doing atank, you know, like atrocity. Terrorism like this, you know, coming and threatening and killing somebody. So he went on a world tour. 21 times he went on world tour. And all Kshatriya kings he killed. Those all were nonsense kings, he killed everybody. He had said only one thing, that whenever I will come, only those who are doing sacrifice, yagya, I will not kill them. Or somebody is surrounded by women, I will not kill them. Or somebody is getting married to a woman, I will not kill them. So the moment the news would come that he is now on his tour, so the king would immediately start getting married. You know, like kings have authority to marry many women, so they will immediately get some woman, good girl, and start getting married and busy getting in marriage ceremony. So they will be saved. There was one man called as Nari Kavacha. His name only became Nari Kavacha. What is the meaning of that name? one who is always surrounded by women. That is Nari Kavacha. So whatever, what he would do, as soon as he gets the news that Parshuram is coming, so he would call all his wives and sit in between them. And others would call sadhus and immediately do some sacrifice, some homa, some havana, something they will start doing. And they were only saved. They were also little bit mistaking kings, but they were hiding out. And all others were killed. And 21 times he did that. It is said that the blood and the flesh were so much after killing that he had to collect them all in one pond. Huge pond in Kurukshetra. Where he had to put all those, you know, flowing blood and flesh and everybody. And then finally he was like cooled down. That he said, ki, all the nonsense people I have finished from the earth. So that they can follow religion properly and they will respect sadhus and respect priestly men. And then he came back and he was also repentful. That so much of massacre I have done and I have killed so many people. So let me atone for that. So what he did, he threw his parshu. He stood somewhere around Goa. I don't know exact location, but somewhere around that area, looking at south direction. And he threw his parshu and he pushed the ocean behind. So if I'm standing like this, this is land and this is ocean. So I threw the parshu in such a way that ocean was pushed on this side. Around 100 kilometers broad and 1000 kilometers long. So he claimed the land from ocean. Like we have Bandra reclamation. What is reclamation? We reclaim the land from the ocean. Right? Ocean goes behind and you become make land there. And that land, because Parshuram did that, there was a tsunami after that. Now if you do it, somewhere tsunami comes because of that. When you claim the land from ocean, then ocean somewhere responds and you get tsunami somewhere in Palghar or somewhere like that, or in California or in some other place, Japan, China, like that. So you cannot play with the ocean. Ocean has authority. Ocean has limit also. It will not cross the limit, but if you go in the limit of ocean, then ocean will react to you. But because this is God's desire and God's order, so nothing happened. Nice land was created. And he called 10 sadhus, who were like prominent leaders of the communities. Like I remember some names, Bharadwaja, Vasishta, Shandilya, Kaundinya, like that. One of them is my Gotra, Bharadwaj Muni. So I remember that. And there are 10 like that. So all 10 who were leaders of many communities, they were guru of those community. He called all of them and he divided the whole land in those 10 sadhus. And he told them that this land will be filled with greenery, filled with rains, filled with rivers, filled with fruits, flowers, jewels, all that you need to live prosperously will be there in this land. There will be no dearth, nothing will be less for you to sustain your life, and your bhajan, your devotion will become very nice because there is no dearth, there is no drought or there is no difficulty. So you will live very happily, you worship the Lord nicely and perfect your lives, and whenever there is a difficulty which you cannot solve, you have to come together and I'll give mantra to you and you chant the mantra together, not alone in your houses. Difficulty comes, you solve, try to solve yourself. If you cannot solve, then you come together in one holy place and worship and pray and chant this mantra together. I will appear myself and solve that difficulty. And he said, the prosperity will be so much, you will be all united, you will be in loving friendship with one another. We'll worship together and you'll be very happy. And he went to Mahendra Parvat. There's one mountain, very big mountain. Even today he is performing his tapasya there. He went back and everything was fine. You know that whole land is beginning from Goa right till Kanyakumari. That is called as Parashurama Kshetra. And today also when you travel in train, it's a joy to travel in train and see. There is a river every 5 minutes. Huge and broad. Filled with trillions of coconut trees and greenery everywhere, and you know, that land you go in the middle of summer, you will find, as if it is raining in Bombay, how would you see? That you see in summer. Because I went in April for Sandeep's marriage and it was like green everywhere. All coconut trees and banana trees, and you name supari and furnace, you name all precious trees which you can't see in Bombay. Filled on the road, everywhere. No man's land. Kaju hanging on the tree on the road. Believe me, it's an amazing place. So my village, then Kerala, then Tamil Nadu some place, then Kanyakumari, everything comes in that belt. So many days passed by, they all sadhus were very happy. They are worshipping nicely. But they thought, what about the mantra? Also Kunti thought, na? What about the mantra? Let me try the mantra. She was supposed to use the mantra after her marriage. But she was curious. She had received the mantra before her marriage. So as a young girl, she was curious. So she tried one. Oh, as soon as she tried one, Surya Dev came. And immediately she was given a baby, unmarried time. So there was difficulty. So she doubted, you know, or like she became curious. She didn't have full faith. Ki, whenever I'll chant, the personality will come and give me a son. And she tried for son, Surya Dev. And Surya Dev actually came there. And now she said, sir, please go back, I'm sorry. He said, no, now you have chanted the mantra. I have come and my duty is to give a son to you. But what about my virginity? I am not married. I am a Kshatriya daughter, you know. He said, don't worry. You will not get your son from through womb. You will get through your ear. So your chastity will remain and nobody has to bother about it. So from her ear, Karna was born. And then immediately she has to dispose the child away, because how she will face the society that king's daughter is giving birth to a child before marriage only. What kind of king is this? So that's one story. Like that, even sadhus were curious. Huh? Very point, important note. That curiosity is a part of everybody's life, not only young girl's life, you know. So they chanted the mantra together. They said, okay, let us see what happens. And without fail, instantly Parshuram appeared on the scene. And he said, what is the problem? Then they started shaking. He said, no problem is there, everything is fine. He said, you doubted my mantra. And you wanted to check it for because of your doubt. I curse you that you will lose your unity. So you may say, what big deal it is? Anyway, rain is coming, fruit is coming. Unity, who cares? You may feel like that. But for happy and prosperous living, unity is very important. Huh? You may say, ki, aray, my position is there, my salary is there, my job is there. I don't need your unity. I don't care for it. No, you will suffer. If you have to work together in the institute, in the department, you will suffer if unity is not there. And for sadhus, unity is much more important than our work that we are doing in department. So they were like completely aghast to hear that. Okay, now that unity amongst us will be lost. So they were like really falling at the feet of Parshuram. He was, as his nature was, he was very angry and he was boiling with anger, red eyes and Parshu in hand. They really fell at his feet and begged for pardon. Please, we'll not make mistake again. This is by mistake we tried the mantra and all. Please give us something, some atonement for our mistake, and we will do that and try to improve ourselves. So, okay. After some lot of prayers, he was pacified. He said, in the forthcoming fruitful season, 10 days you'll have to worship Lord Vishnu with fresh flowers, fresh fruit, fresh decorations and everything fresh coming from nature. In 10 days you establish Lord Vishnu and you worship him day and night with flowers and fruits and all wonderful things. At the end of 10th day, if you don't worship properly, you'll be forgiven of this curse. So they started, they immediately all came together, they established Vishnu and then they installed him and then they started worshipping him day and night with flowers and prayers and fruits and grains and all preparations and festivities. So you feed everybody and you treat everybody and give the prasada Vishnu to all like that. And after 10 days, when Lord Vishnu will be pleased, you will be free from the curse. So those 10 days are the Onam. That is the history of Onam. That all the people, that is why there is no distinction which sadhu will head and which sadhu will be assistant. No, everybody comes together. That's why there is a mood that no Christianity, everybody is there together. There is no distinction that time. You have to treat all the guests and meet everybody, feed the poor, feed the friends, everybody, wish them, give them clothes, give them gifts, visit them, have festivity, enjoy like that. It's a festival of unity, which is very important for human life. And somehow, the 10th day of the Onam also matches with Bali Maharaja's appearance. Okay, so this one story is this, but somehow during those 10 days, on the 10th day and some other different time, not on that time, Bali Maharaj was, you know, Vamandev appeared, and I'll tell the story in short. And Bali Maharaj was a demon actually, but he was a very virtuous king. See, demons are not necessarily bad. They only don't believe in God, that's all. But they can be kind, they can be serving nicely. Bali Maharaj was known for his service to Brahmins. And he was so powerful that even Brihaspati told Indra that this time he has pleased the Brahmins so much that he has become very, very powerful and effulgent. He is shining like millions of suns at a time. You cannot fight with him now. Just take a humble position and truce and run away. This is not time. Times also have to see which time is better to fight. So Brihaspati advised, and all the demigods started hiding themselves. And one time Bali Maharaj came himself with his chariot and to fight, you know. It is said that looking at his stage only, these people ran away. Indra, everybody ran away. For Indra and everybody had committed one offense. Durvasa Muni came and visited all the demigods. He repeatedly visits. And he gave Vishnu's Mahaprasad garland to Indra. And somehow, you know, Indra was busy with enjoying apsaras and the dance was going on, you know. A little festive mood. And he did not notice that garland so much, you know. Generally, if I get Radha Giridhari's Mahaprasad garland, I will just, you know, worship it nicely, pray and keep it on my garland, on my neck. But what he did, he just accepted it and gave it to his elephant. Elephant carrier, Airavata. And Airavata is elephant. So he just played with it and he threw it on the ground and he trampled it with his feet. That means he insulted the garland of Vishnu. So Durvasa said, you have become so puffed up with enjoyment. I curse you. You lose all your opulence. So by the curse of Durvasa Muni, Indra lost all his power. Bali Maharaj became powerful because of the curse of Durvasa. He could not fight him and he lost all his kingdom and all the sons of Aditi, the demigods, they ran away and they lost all kingdom because of one person's offense. Remember that. When the leader commits an offense, the reaction is suffered by all the followers. Very important lesson to learn. A king commits offense, the whole kingdom suffers. When the leader of Kamgar makes one mistake, all Kamgar suffer because of the one long decision taken. So like that, because of one mistake by one kingly personality, Indra, all demigods lost their kingdom, and lost their places, lost their wealth, opulence, sab gul ho gaya unka. And that time Bali became very powerful because he was doing everything nicely, following the rituals and following pleasing Brahmins and everything. But then what happens? After the losing opulence, then everybody came crying to Brahma. Hey, Brahma, what is our position right now? We are like dirt, you know, no position, nothing. And this Bali is making us wash his feet, fetch water for him and serve him lunch and dinner and clean his house and all menial work he is forcing us to do. And we are simply helpless. Do something about it. So Brahma took all of them to Vishnu, a Shir Sagar at the bank of the ocean, prayed for him, and then Vishnu sent a message, don't worry. Don't worry, my devotees. You have done a mistake, but I will help you. I will come. Always Vishnu does that. You know. All devotees keep making mistakes and they go to Brahma. Brahma takes them to Vishnu and Vishnu says, don't worry. Don't do mistake again. Okay? I will come this time and save you. So he took birth as son of Kashyapa and Aditi, as Vamana. Nice dwarf, golden hair, beautiful body, golden skin. And small Brahmin grew up, and then Bali was already conquered all the demigods' property, na? Pura Swarga Lokas, everything he had conquered. But still, the hiding demigods were not heartfully accepting him as a king. So you may terrorize me, terrorize all of you, but still I will not accept you as a king as a heart because I don't like you. So he wanted to become a celebrated king of all demigods and Swarga Lokas. Although he had captured the property by force, but he want all of them to accept him as a king. So his guru, Shukracharya, told him that you have to perform 100 yagyas. Okay? 100 or 1000, I think, if I am not mistaken. Whatever number it is, big number it was. And at the end of 100 sacrifice, you will become Indra. That means Indra is not a person, Indra is a post. Like director is not a person, director is a post. Somebody goes on that post. Dr. Sankhya is in that post. So like that, you will become Indra and they will accept you and they will work under you. So he finished 99 and the 100th was going on. I mean, almost he has done everything, right? And not like our annual day yagya, you know, 45 minutes. It's not like that. Mr. Kolte is helping and 2-3 hours he has to break and 1 hour I do and everything is finished. Fruit lelo, chale jao. Not like that. It will take days and days and months together. We only have one kunda here. They'll have at time 108 kundas, 108 rishis, their disciples chanting mantras, throwing ghee. It's like huge arrangement. A city is made for that, newly constructed. Where they do yagya. Like that, 99 is over and 100th is going on. And every yagya has to be completed by the ritual of giving donation to Brahmins and take their blessings, and then the yagya is complete and you get the fruit of the yagya. So at the 100th yagya, when it is about to get over, Bali Maharaj, Mahabali, his wife, I think Vindhyavali, and his sister, Ratnavali, they are all there, and all family members, all demons, everybody, the whole big entourage is there, and the final ritual is going on, and the Brahmins are called. Now you please come and take your donations. In that queue, Batu Vaman comes. And Shukracharya tells in the ear of Mahabali, who is sitting next to him as a guru, guide of the holy yagya, do not give him any gifts. He is Vishnu himself. He has come in the guise of Brahmin and he will take everything away from you. So do not give him any charity. That time Bali Maharaj says that, how can I not give him charity? Life is meant to serve Vishnu. And everything belongs to Vishnu. And the Vishnu only himself has come to me to ask from it. How I should not give it? I should give whatever belongs to him is his only. So I will not lose the opportunity of pleasing Lord Vishnu at this moment. So Shukracharya said, I curse you if you don't, you are a disciple, don't follow my instruction, you will lose everything. Now you see, and Vaman and Bali Maharaj disobeys his guru. He says, ki, guru is supposed to help me to serve Vishnu. And the guru is telling me, don't serve Vishnu. I reject such guru. I will not give up the principle of serving Vishnu. So then in the line, Vamandev comes. He says, please ask me whatever you like. Oh, effulgent Brahmin. Well, he was like, you know, he was explaining scriptures when Vamandev came, na? He was in the middle of many sadhus. He came, his effulgence was so powerful that Bali Maharaj just stood up, you know, from the whole assembly. His work was going on, his ritual, something going on. He suddenly stopped and suddenly stood up like this with awe and reverence, you know, with respect, with the power and effulgence that he had. So he was already, what do you call, impressed with the personality of little Vaman. And he came, he said, my dear effulgent, intelligent looking, shining Brahmana, please tell me what do you want. So he said, I am a Brahmin, I need some land for performing my Homa and Havana and Yagya. So how much land do you want? Shall I give you a planet? Shall I give you island? Shall I give you set of islands or what? He said, no, I am a small boy, I need 3 steps of land. He said, you are a fool. I am a king of everything that is there from top to bottom, Brahma Loka to down, everything belongs to me. I am the king of 14 planets. You are asking for 3 steps of land. Ask 1 planet, ask 3 planets. I'll give you. I'll create planet for you and give you new ones if you don't like the old ones. But he said, a man should take whatever one needs. Man should not take more than what you need. If you are happy in the thing that you have, that you need, you'll be happy forever. If you don't have happiness in what you have, you'll be unhappy forever. So I don't want to be unhappy. I need 3 steps of land. I will only take that much from you. He said, you'll appear to be very intelligent, but I know you are a fool number one. You are a very small child. I know now you look very effulgent, but I understand that you don't have any knowledge. Anyways, if you don't want, fine, take whatever you want. And still Shukracharya is saying, don't give him. I tell you, don't chant the mantra, because you have to chant the mantra and give water and give the land, you know. He's still angry with him. He said, no, kiss. And after he says the mantra, Vamandev becomes big, starts growing, and he starts looking like this, and start looking. He just goes beyond his vision also. And says, shall I take my step now? He said, okay, take your step. Everybody's just aghast, you know, my God, such a small boy has become huge, covering the entire sky. So he takes first step and covers earth and all the hellish planets down. Everything he covers. 1 plus 6, 7. And he takes next step and covers the higher 7. And when he covers higher 7, his toenail, the big toenail, touches the covering of the universe and makes a hole in that. And from that, Gangaji flows. The celestial Ganga. It's called as Akash Ganga. That flows from spiritual world in the material world. It becomes Akash Ganga. Then it becomes Ganga on earth. Then it becomes Patal Ganga. It goes down. So there's a slit, na? The slit say Gangaji comes. And immediately Brahma worships the feet which has come to Brahma Loka. And then he says, what about third step? He says, whatever I had, you are covered in 2 steps only. You don't have anything. No, if you don't follow your word, then you will be cursed. So you have to give me a third step, place to keep third step. So at that time he says, one thing is, I think it is mine, is my ego. This body, this existence, I still think it is mine. So he puts his head down, he says, that also I surrender to you as a third step place. You can put your head, put your foot on my head, and that is third place for you. So when Bali's head, he puts the foot on Bali's head and pushes him down under the earth and sends him to Sutala Loka. Sutala Loka is a hellish planet. And there he pushes him. And after that, when he is pressed by Bali, Bhaman's foot, Varuna immediately comes, all demigod become very victorious. Yes, our God has saved us, like now we are victorious, now the demons are finished and demigods will again get the property. So Varuna again immediately comes with his ties called as Varun Pash. Now the snakes come and tie you, you cannot get released from that. So he ties Bali Maharaj and drags him on the ground. That means you are now defeated, you are our subjugated member, you are nobody now. They want to show the enemy that you are a winner. So at that time, Bali Maharaj is thanking the Lord. You will feel humiliated, all your family members are watching, wife is watching, husband, brothers are watching, kingdom people are watching, Senapadis are watching, Shukracharya is watching, everybody is watching, and your enemies are watching, and they are laughing and making victory celebrations. But in the heart of his heart, he is thanking the Lord. Thank you, my Lord. You have accepted me as your own. I have surrendered my life to you with all property, my ego, everything is yours. Please take care of me. So this much story everybody knows, that Lord defeated him and demigods regained their kingdom and they were very happy, they went back to their kingdom. But the real story of devotion begins now. Then the Lord, after finishing one chapter of the story, then he says, Bali, that I will give you a kingdom which is better than Indra also. They have come to take your property and they wanted to regain their kingdom. And you are wanted to become Indra of one property of demigods. I will give you a kingdom which is much better than Indra also. And describe the whole beauty of that kingdom. And he said, over and above all that is hundreds of times better than Indra's kingdom, I will become your doorkeeper there. And I will guard it from effects of time, effects of Maya. No enemy will attack you. Nobody will touch you. Nobody will touch your property. Your power, nobody will be able to defeat or disturb. There will be complete sovereignty for you. There is no disturbance, no famine, nobody will come and disturb you, no Maya can attack you, no time will also attack you. That means you will not become old, your kingdom will not become withered by time. And I will personally stand there and guard your kingdom. You have heard anybody? Prime Minister Manmohan Singh will tell on Chaprasi, don't worry, I'll give a big bungalow to you and I'll become watchman for you. Only Lord can do that. Lord can take a highest position, what it is belonging to him. He can take a lowest position also for his devotee. He became charioteer for Arjun. Sarathi, driver he became. So that position when he took at the gate of Sutal Loka where Bali is standing, Lakshmi Devi is waiting in the heavens, in the Vaikuntha. That my husband went down to save his devotees, demigods, and he told them, I'll come and save you. Long time has passed, he has not come back. So she comes on earth searching and she doesn't find him. So they tell that he has gone to Sutal Loka, he has become a doorkeeper. So she goes down Sutal Lake also. And you can see the Lord's humility, The Lord is standing at the gate and he's running from one gate to another gate. She's wondering why he's running. So he says, King Bali comes from different gate every day. So I don't know. Whenever I come to know, I have to go and stand at that gate before he comes. So he's running from one gate to another. Because kingdom is only having one gate. The kingdom is full of many, many big Mahadwarams. So this Lakshmi Devi goes in the assembly of Mahabali in Sutal Loka and puts a request. You can imagine Lord's wife is putting request to Mahabali. She says, please, I have one request to you. Please go daily from only one gate. So that he can stand at only one gate and doesn't run out. And Mahabali says, okay, thank you. Oh mother, I am acceptable to your will. So then when he goes down, he is very happy there and all prosperity, wealth, everything is there. But when he was here on earth, people were very happy with him. He was a demoniac king. Whatever, he was fighting with demigods. But he was a very virtuous, pious and helpful king. His kingdom people were very happy with him. All prosperity was there, all food, grains, everything was all right. Brahmins were served well. So he also felt a little worry about his kingdom people, you know, who were there. So then he said, okay, one day you go up and you can see that everybody is happy. So that is the day when he comes up. The 10th day of Onam, Tiruvanam, Tiruvanam is called as. That day, he comes from Sutraloka on earth to see how his people are. How Madam Vaidehi is doing. How Nirmala is doing. How you are doing. How you are doing. To see how everybody is doing. So that is the time of festivity. So everyone shows by lighting lamps and putting flowers that we are very happy. Don't worry, sir. We are very happy in our life here. Although material world is filled with birth, old age, disease and death. But still we are very happy. We will continue living over here very happily. Nice fruits, nice greenery, nice rivers, nice grains, everything is available. So you don't worry. So he comes and that day he is welcomed by people. He is established by people. He is fed by people. By offerings and he undergoes festivities. Like, you know, one day Prime Minister comes to you, then you have all festivities, programs for him and speeches. And one day Bill Clinton came and all the roads were cleaned and everything was like festoons everywhere. People are shouting slogans, waving at him. To please him, basically to tell him, welcome sir, we love you and we respect you. That whole day is done and then he goes back to his kingdom. Similarly, in Hindu tradition, there is one day called Bali Pratipada. On the third day of Diwali, after the Amavasya, Lakshmi Pujan gets over, third day also is supposed to be that day when Bali comes. That's why everyone lights lamp and welcomes Bali and shows that we are very happy. So Bali is that kind of a king. Very, very, very famous, very worshipped and very respectable king. So these two things match up together. At different times it happened. Before it happened about the Parshuram Kshetra and all the story. And later on some other times this happened. But it matches together. So this is the Onam. That is why everybody comes together without distinction, without caste, without language, without color, without all these things, wealth, and come together and be friends. But ultimately, who has made this caste and everything? We have made it over here. God doesn't see you as, oh, she's Christian, oh, he's Hindu, oh, he's Muslim, oh, he's Sikh, oh, different entry for you in my kingdom. Come from this gate. You are all Muslims. Come this side. He doesn't say that. He doesn't even look at you like that. He doesn't even look at you as woman or man or a child or Indian or foreigner or white or black. He sees you and us only as his children. And he loves all of us equally. We differentiate. Oh, you are women, I am man and she is children and these are all whites and these are blacks. They speak Chinese and they speak Tulu and they speak Tagalu for Filipinos. They don't think like that. No? We only think like that. Because yesterday some Filipinos came, devotees from Philippines. And they speak Tagalu. I was with them in Saudi Arabia a couple of times ago. So they speak Tagalu, Toto, like that they speak, very nice language, you know. Should hear that language, it will be very good entertainment. If you feel depressed, you hear Tagalu, people speaking Tagalu. It will be really, really joyful for you. So God doesn't differentiate. Even He doesn't differentiate between demons and demigods also. For Him, na desho, na priya. Nobody hates, nobody loves. He treats everybody equally. That is God. If you understand God, there will not differentiate Christianity, Hindu, Muslim, Sikh. Will Father be pleased if you have, how many brothers and sisters you have?
Two sisters.
And yourself? Third one. Okay. How many have, anybody have brother and sister?
We have five sisters and one brother.
Okay. So, when you meet your father, does it differentiate? Oh, my girls, I love them more. Oh, you boy, you stay aside. Like that. Oh, boy, you are so nice and girls I don't like because they all are married and gone outside. You will stay with me, you know. When father or mother meets children, they will not differentiate. One may be struggling with finances, one may be very rich, having cars, another may be middle class, and one may have children, another may not have children, and one may have seven children, and one may be no children. So he will not differentiate, ki, oh, he is very auspicious, he has no children. He is very auspicious, he has got lot of wealth. Oh, he is very inauspicious, because he has no wealth, no children. Does he differentiate like that?
No.
When you go to father, my mother is 83 year old. And my first son, her first son, is 61 year old. But she will treat him as son only. Arey, khana nahi khata hai tu? Kitna baja? Kaisa rahega aisa? Time pe khana khao. Matlab, for her, she is 83, son is 61, but she is son only. Wo bachche jaisa treat karega usko. My grandma also, she would wake up my father as if my wife will wake up a small child now. That way my grandma will make up my father in my childhood. Because for grandma, you become 60-year-old, but you are her son only. Mm-hmm. So what I'm trying to make a point here that no matter what happens, the parents will look at you as loving children and not differentiate between who is sick, who is not well, who is rich, who is not rich. So like that, what do you think of the God? If your mortal parents are thinking like this when they meet their children, what to speak of our spiritual father? When you meet him, he will not say, oh, you are from Kerala, you stand in this queue. you will not say that. Oh, you are from Maharashtra, you are from Brahmin community, you are from this community. No. No differentiation there. Only one differentiation. Devotion or no devotion? That's all. Love or no love? Even devotion is later. Love or no love? Don't love me, he's not say forcing you. You must love me. Say, please, don't love. Go there, live independently. Love me, come to my kingdom. That's the only distinction. And I would not say that is distinction. That is not distinction. That is just, if you don't like me, what I can do? I have everything for you. Everything is yours. But I am saying, the son is saying, I don't want it. I will have my own. I will go and live different from you. I said, okay. So your choice. Whenever you feel like coming back, come. There is a place for you. Like your son may say, I don't like you, mama. I will now start living separately. You are too much bossing over me and you are too much demanding and you have too much rules and regulations. I don't like to stay with you and my father. I live independently. I have now enough. I will earn money and stay. What you will say? Whenever you feel like you come. Yeah, house is there for you. Everything is for you. When you feel this wrong decision, come back. We will take you. And you will send some friends and tell that, find out where is Rishikesh? What is he doing? Is he happy or... No, he is working in some garage as a mechanic, you know, he is all black and I just couldn't talk to him also, so busy repairing cars. So he will send another friend and tell him you don't have to repair cars, you know, the whole 10 cars are at home and the property also is yours, you don't have to be anything, just come home and be with us and you will get food, everything will be all yours. Why you become black by working in mechanic's job? And then if he agrees, for example, then you will not stand at the gate, why you went in first place, I told you. You are very arrogant. You want to come inside or go away? Aisa nahi bolenge. You will welcome him. Come, beta, come. It's all right, you have made a mistake, but I am your mother, I am your father. Please come. Everything is yours. All property always was yours. You only left it and went away.
The doors are
always open. Always open, father and mother. Like that, the God is always waiting for you. So this festival reminds us that God is one. And we are also all are one. We are not only body is different, language is different. Soul is one, same soul is there in everybody's heart. And same devotion, love is expected from us, for the Lord and for each other. That is the message of festivity. You know why there is less of depression in India and more of depression abroad? Anybody knows? So many festivals, antidepressants. जरा बोर हो गया तो नेक्स्ट फेस्टिवल इज कमिंग इमीडिएटली गणपति डांसिंग हाँ कितना गरीब आदमी रहेगा उसको यू शुड गेट मोर डिप्रेशन बिकॉज नो मनी नथिंग बट यू नो आफ्टर 8 days अगेन इज डांसिंग ऑन द रोड यू नो विसर्जन और वेलकम गणपति कुछ थोड़ा दिन गया नवरात्रि अगेन स्टार्टेड डांसिंग गरबा उसके बाद दिवाली उसके बाद यू नो दैट एंड अब्रॉड जाएंगे तो क्या अरे महीने महीने देयर इज नथिंग हैपनिंग वेट फॉर क्रिसमस टू कम इन डिसम्बर माई गॉड फिर गो टू मुस्लिम कंट्रीज Only two Eids are there. एक रमजान ईद एंड एक बकरी ईद उसके बीच में आगे पीछे कुछ नहीं यू फील क्या है इट्स अ हॉलीडे ओनली इंडिया में आफ्टर 10 days इज हॉलीडे अरे अम्बेडकर जयंती कभी गुरु नानक जयंती कभी क्या पारसी न्यू ईयर कभी इंडियन न्यू ईयर कभी बुद्धिस्ट न्यू ईयर कभी ये ईयर बाय दैट वे व्हाट हैपेंस इज पीपल कम टुगेदर दे एक्सचेंज लव अफेक्शन गिफ्ट्स Eat together, have merry. See, telling me, dancing, swinging, you know, so many activities, you know, so much fun. How can one remain in depression? Swinging in a jhula, what is depression? Is it possible? No, possible. Even if you are depressed, you will not be in depression that time. So, Indian culture is full of festivity. It makes you happy. And happy in connection with God. Festivity is not independent. Festivity is always somewhere some God's link is there in that. So, we come together, enjoy festivals, in connection and love for the Lord. And naturally the enmity will go away, naturally hatred will go away, you will exchange gifts, feed one another, only love will grow. That is our culture. And that's why we celebrate festivals here. Why we festivals celebrate Govardhan Puja here? Everybody cooks nicely, one department sabji. Anybody can remain happy in this, unhappy in this festival? Everybody is busy in doing something for each other and you come together and हमने सब्जी बनाया, तुमने राइस बनाया, तुमने वो बनाया, ओनम में हमने ये बनाया. So happy everybody becomes, right? So that is why we all are trying to inculcate spiritual culture here of equality and unity and love. Any questions? Any question is there? So that spirit we have to adopt. Enjoyment of festival we should enjoy, but the spirit of the festival is the unity and love and affection. We should not look at, you know, little misunderstanding here and there. तुमने ऐसा बोला था, वो मैंने ऐसा बोला था, मैं अभी नहीं करूँगा, ऐसा नहीं करूँगा, मैं नहीं करूँगी, अभी अगले बार तुम्हें करना. Instead of that, you should ignore all these things and see that you are together, enjoy together, celebrate together, worship God together. Keep that in mind, unity factor. Okay? Hare Krishna.